Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 64 of the Blind Bargains Cast. I am Joe, he is JJ, and together we take on the news as it was, or were, or could be, of the previous week.
Why does my file say 65? Are you trying to rush?
I was looking ahead and dreaming of a far-flung future of conventions as such has been sponsored by our sponsor, Hims. Hey, Hims.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes. There you go. There you go. Hims Lifestyle Innovation. Thanks once again for sponsoring the Blind Bargains Cast. Coming up on episode 64. Not 65. You're playing with an Android tablet, it looks
Yay!
Like.
That's what the notes say here. A lot of people have asked us on Twitter, what would we recommend? And we needed a marshmallowy type tablet here in the house.
It's a marshmallow world in this. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you had the marshmallow. I wasn't rocking the marshmallow. Although, the day of the recording, my Galaxy S5 now sports marshmallow, and I That's don't really see any 2.5 difference. Years ago.
So you have, this is an NVIDIA tablet, I guess. So we'll learn
NVIDIA
about
NVIDIA Shield tablet, like Agents of Shield. Ah, NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Okay.
$200. And Ricky and I will tell you whether that was a good idea or a bad idea in order to have a tablet in the house that was running marshmallow.
Hey, coming up this week, a last word that does not involve bacon or cats.
No, but a music file to stay in the kind of realm that we have been establishing over the last couple of weeks. Okay, I really didn't try all that hard. It was a very low bar for me this week.
It actually does, one of them does involve a hamburger, come to think of it, but no bacon.
It would not be a last word unless it involved music, food, or cats.
Food, right, exactly. One of those two things. So
there was an old Saturday Night Live sketch that was food, sex, or cars. So I guess that's exactly what the last word is. Music, food, or cats.
All right, then. Let's go to the news.
Okay, fine. He's not going to touch that one with a 10-foot cat. Anyway, in the news, we have a way for you to make money rather than spend money. Hey, at $125 from Google, you're almost to getting a Google tablet.
Hey, I'll quit my job for that.
Yeah. I don't know that there's enough testing involved, but you know, it's a good start.
No, this is another one of those calls. You know, I'm curious if anyone's ever ended up on a Google research panel. Of course, maybe they can't tell us if they were.
Exactly.
I did one at CSUN several years ago, but they paid me in water bottles and t-shirts. And a really cool, which I still have to this day, Google Braille mug.
Ooh,
which
dude.
I wish, you know, it looks really cool. And I wish I could get another one because every time people see it, they love it. This actually pays you in cash and you can do stuff in person. You can do stuff over the phone. You can do stuff online. And you just go to this website, which we link to on blindbargains.com, and you can sign up to be a research subject. No guarantees you'll actually get picked.
Possible. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You may or may not get picked, but hey, you know what? Might as well throw your hand into the ring, if it were. And you don't have to be an Android person to sign up or anything. They don't care about that.
Questions about iOS and what you use and what is your normal form of using things like computer versus mobile and all of that.
And let us know. I mean, you probably can't tell us what your actual research was about, but you know, I'm just curious if anyone's actually been in one of these and you know, why not? I mean, I'm assuming they're picking actual people, right? Not just.
I would think so. Of course, you know, you talk about the water bottles. I brought home the one from CSUN, and Ricky's been using that. And if you tilt it, it makes dolphin noises. It's very disturbing.
Oh, dolphins should give that away instead.
Yes. There's a lot of things to be said behind that one, but I will digress. But it's always good to have that kind of swag. I've gotten weird things. I actually have a piece of swag from a comic book convention, which was a t-shirt that had been compressed down to the size of a brick.
Ow.
So it was like all.
Would it hurt if you threw it at someone? Or
It was very solid. And I think it was a Killer Instinct t-shirt.
Okay, don't throw that at Ricky. Let me know what happens.
Really a death by brick, not Lego brick, but I wouldn't, t-shirt brick.
Yeah. Don't throw Braille notes either. They would probably hurt and, you know, perhaps break. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think Humanware would either. But you could buy one now. The new Braille Note Touch is out.
Speaking of Android, here is the Braille Note Touch running at now $5,495. Is that what it says here?
Yeah, that's just a few pennies for the Braille Note Touch. It's the same price that the Braille Note Apex was, which is, interestingly, they're still selling the Braille Note Apex on the website for the price of $5,495.
Yikes. So this won't draw any comparisons and or ire from the internet at large?
We already have a couple comments. I mean, the predictable, why would anyone pay this much for a note taker? Look, there's some things to be said here. And yes, the cost of Braille is expensive and all of that. But, you know, they're selling them at this price. And until the cost of Braille displays comes down, which it may, given some of the new developments that may affect the price of these things. Yeah, there's a lot of markup, but there's a lot of markup for any device. Your Apple iPhone costs, what, $200 to make, $250, and they're selling it for $7? Exactly. So don't say that markup is just that, oh, it's they're taking advantage of the blindness industry. It's typical that your products are marked up 2-3 times.
Look at what happened during Awareness Day a couple of days ago in the Apple iStore. One of the things I generally point to is the price of communications apps. So alternative communications apps, those that need switch access apps, those are like $195 to start in a lot of cases. The app world for assistive technology in general is very much a markup situation because they don't sell as many as you think they do. And therefore, no. Cost is spanned out over the smaller number of people that are actually going to buy. Now, as that said, it would have been nice that this was Android, so there wasn't as much of a problem with licensing and all, but initially, any technology is expensive. The Xbox One, you know, was a very expensive box for $500, and now that's coming down to like $300. So early adoption also usually brings along a pretty stiff price.
And there is a lot of cost to pay. You got to pay, you know, I'm assuming they have at least a couple programmers on their staff that are writing all the code for the new Braille Note. They completely rewrote Keysoft. And you got to pay those people and the tech support people and the sales people.
And updates.
And everything else. So, I mean, it's not just that you can't just go on, you know, what the cost of production. Yeah. Are they marking it up? Sure. It does, you know, your dealer mark up the price from, you know, is there a cushion there? Yeah, absolutely. But
and the flip side is that other manufacturers are going to do the same, because if you price your product too low, people in education, people in government, other individuals who are tastemakers think the product isn't as good. So industry standard pricing exists for a reason. And it's not just in this. Televisions, dishwashers, there's a thing called MAT pricing in retail. And that means you can't go under a certain price. You can have a sale all you want, but you can't go under a certain price as set by the manufacturer.
Yep. And I mean, and it happens with, I mean, look, the Braille Note Touch has been the most talked about of the new note takers. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some reviews soon to see how they all compare. But it's, you know, the B2G at $2,500, it's not like it's getting a lot more PR because it's $2,500 versus $5,500. So, yeah, it sucks if you can't afford it. And I know many of our listeners can't afford it. I couldn't just go out and buy a Braille Note Touch at $5,500. It's really expensive. A lot of that is the Braille display technology. But as long as they feel that there is a demand for dedicated note takers of some ilk, then they will keep making these things. They wouldn't have made this if they didn't think they'd sell
them. Despite what people think, they will sell. They will sell quite well, either to rehab or government or other purchasers. They will sell. And that's the other side of this as well. So you can actually make a decision on whether you think it's even worth all of that by taking on a free tutorial from our friends over at Mystic Access.
That's true. That is, I think it's like 14 hours in total.
Wow.
It's their first real free tutorial. They've done several that have been paid. Of course, we've talked about them before. We've had them on the show. But this one is completely free. They worked out a deal with Humanware, and they did a lot. They're covering both the Keysoft side of things and also the Android side of things. So there's a lot going on. It's, like I said, I think 12 or 14 hours in total, and it's completely free. You could download it to your stream. You could download it to your Pac-Mate, just to be weird.
just to have something very, very different to listen to, and that might help you decide whether you think this is a good device or worth the price that it is. It may or may not, but it is free, and that's an opportunity. And also, while you're listening to that, you can get a good idea of how good the other tutorials are from Mystic Access, because there are some other tutorials up there, and they've been doing this a bit.
And they're in a similar style.
Good idea of quality.
They give you an idea of their kind of teaching style, their tutorial style, and things like that. And that's important to know, because you're going to gel with different people teach things in different ways, and you're going to gel with certain types of tutorial. So if this works for you, then perhaps the Stream tutorial or perhaps the Echo tutorial may work for you as well, which of course you could
buy. Staying in the line of Android-ish like stories, Fire OS is a variant of the Android operating system that is actually kindled by Amazon, and the Fire OS has just recently seen an update for certain parts of its ecosystem for voice view.
I like Scott's headline here. It's all the classic newspaper play on words. Amazon ignites voice view for Fire TV owners. Yes.
We're just as guilty as The Verge and everybody else.
Hey, you know, we could have, at least we didn't do, hey, guess which new platform the voice view software.
Click here. We could have gone the BuzzFeed way.
I'm guilty of that once or twice. I've done things like that, but So this is the Fire TV, and you can just press a key combination to enable accessibility in this. It has to have the latest software. So of course, do these firmware updates come down automatically or do you have to download them?
As far as I know, you will get like a box that kind of sort of says you should do this update, being that it's not really accessible. I don't know that you would know that was going on,
but at some point they're going to start shipping them with this latest software.
I would think so.
You press the back and menu keys on the remote. It looks like what you do to enable, and then it will start doing tutorials and things like that. But, you know, it's the first version of that. And eventually the new ones that are shipping will have at least this version or newer. And
that gives you three different TV-ish boxes to play with. The Microsoft Xbox with Narrator, although that is limited because some of the apps are not accessible. Apple TV, which has a lot of apps and core accessibility built into it. And now this thing that leaves things like the Roku kind of sort of out.
Android TV can be enabled from setup now as well.
Yes, there was so much mentioned about Android TV at I.O. I almost forgot.
Right. Well, there are some TVs. I believe it's some Toshibas or some of the other Vizios.
They're promoting that and their remote that comes with it.
Yes. And so there actually are some TVs that are running it. So, yeah, you're right. It's still under the radar that we forget about it, too.
And that's a shame. And of course, you could also use Chromecast with an accessible, you know, device, say iOS or Android. You can do it that way. In fact, before I came down here, I was actually playing some stuff from Google Play via AirPlay for the family. So you could do it in that direction too.
We're getting there's more options now than there are not, which is definitely a change from even a year ago, where pretty much Apple TV was your only choice. So now, you know, we're waiting on Roku, which is actually in many circles rated the number one, but yes. I have no idea because we can't use it.
So. Exactly. I know some low vision people who have one and really like it, but I've not felt the need. Now that I have an Android tablet in the house, though, at some point we have to get some accessible Amazon ecosystem thing here because we actually don't have one of those here in the house. What we do have, though, is NVDA, and depending on your screen reader of choice, you'll really love this headline, for it speaks to me.
I wanted to see who caught this. One person did right back. You spelled it wrong. Like, yeah, that was the point.
I love it.
Latest NVDA's feature, add features to help bad spielers and writers, or add features. Yeah, it's all messed up. So I snuck into episode 63 just as we were going to press. They came out with this new NVDA, the release candidate 2016.2, and one of the big new features is to proofread as you type and give you spelling errors and let you know when they are happening. And we demonstrated that in tip last week, so go back in 63 if you want to hear how that exactly works. But essentially, if you start typing a word that sounds bad, you will hear this sound. And it sounds like a little buzzer. It's like a little game show buzzer. And it's like,
That incorrect. Actually could have a Pavlovian response after a while. That can be very much a bad thing.
Wow. Oh, gosh. There are some people that type that I could just like picture that thing going off.
Like going off like it was beeping the dialogue from an MTV reality show. Yeah, I know. I could understand that completely. I like this. If you're using mobiles, you're used to hearing, you know, the little iOS noise all the time.
I would agree with that. You know, one of the things that NVDA is not really strong on is their sound design. Maybe they need to find someone who is good at creating sounds, because none of the ones they have now are particularly awesome. But they do work. They're functional and they're just fine. And of course, you could replace them yourself if you wanted to. They're just waves.
That is true. Yeah. You could have some really scary sound schemes out there, like the old Twitter clients used to have really weird.
You could download sounds, you know, sound schemes that have sounds that are like 5-10 seconds long. Like, I'm already way past this.
No. Then it really is like an MTV reality show.
can really interesting though. But in typing and just in typing up news stories, it works in Firefox and Thunderbird, which have built-in spell check. It works in Word, which uses the dictionary there. So for me, that's where I've been using it. And so far, I mean, I like how it works. And it, I just hear the buzzer and I go back like, oh, we fix that right away. And
well, you must realize that school is coming to an end for a lot of people out there, because he's gone from math to reading with, reverse that, from reading to math. With,
did you see this at CSUN?
I'm not good at math, so we already know what happened there. That,
did you see this at CSUN? This thing is awesome. This caliper. You didn't see it? Oh, man.
No. It involved math. Wait.
Well, it's only measuring.
Okay.
It's a ruler. Okay. Or caliper is a fancy name for a ruler, I guess, in some senses. So we demonstrated this on the C. It was buried in the B2G podcast. So some of you may have not even noticed it was at the end of it. I don't even think it made it into the show notes. So perhaps Jamie didn't even notice it either. But it's a tactile caliper, which is really a fancy ruler. And what this thing does is, as you move it down from 0 to 12, it clicks. And then when it clicks, it actually... it's like pseudo refreshable Braille. It'll pop up 1/16, 2/16, 3/16. It actually pops into place, so you can read the part of an inch that is being measured, and then the full number is, you know, to the left of that.
And we could have used this over the weekend. We were measuring things on the deck, and
you can order one now. And this is not $5,500. This is $18. And
the laser ones really cost $29.99. So if you go for a laser one, and then you try to read the LED with, you know, some scanning app, I mean, golly. So you already know right there.
This is cool. This is one of the coolest designs. They won the Touch of Genius Award in 2013. And like I said, it's one of the coolest things. We demonstrated it back at CSUN, so we'll link to that. So you can pull that demonstration up and get these. Now, they say it's a limited supply for now, and there'll be more later. And there's also going to be a metric version coming later on as well for those
of you those who people have, who do things outside the United States very differently. Notice I didn't say right or wrong. I just said differently.
Goofy.
Yeah. Here comes
the hate mail. Actually makes look, tens and 100s and powers of 10 makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. It does make a lot of sense. I'm just not used to it.
Dollars and cents, as in the amount of money that you might be spending in order to break down and get the new premium Bradley. What? The
Bradley Element.
Huh.
We're in like the like some fancy jewelry music here to describe this thing. It's a 3D watch, like a 3D designer saying, and so it's like all stainless steel, black matte finish. So just like really high quality materials here. And, you know, I guess if they already have the design of the thing, why not do the premium and see
who won? The price?
Well, okay. It's not 18 and it's not $5,500.
Not $18. No.
Nope. And it's not $5,500. Oh, $395.
Okay. Somewhere between bigger and bigger than a bread box.
That's 100 and some, because the original was like 2-something.
Yeah. That's not too far off for the original one.
Steel mesh strap, all black matte finish. Scratch resistant ceramic, so you know, lots of features, and it's water resistant, not waterproof. They say you don't want to jump in a pool with this thing, but if it gets splashed on from the rain, it's fine. And these are available next week from the Ian Time,
not rose gold. People. Oh man,
not for this particular thing.
For those of you who've never touched a Bradley, it is a very quality and well-built watch. It is good stuff. So we're making we're poking some jibes and making a little fun here, but the design of the watch is usually spot on, and there are a lot of people who really adore the way that it tells time, and it is very, very good. We have an interview with the team last year from NFB in our convention coverage, so if you get a chance, hop on back through the archives of the audio podcast. I think this is interesting. I'm glad to see them coming out with new models. Also, it does give you a step-up model, right? That's always what you're looking for in retail, is to have an entry level and then one with a little bit of a quality, so that way a customer can make a decision on whether they like that and could move up to something better, possibly.
I'm trying to segue us over to games.
Well, I ran out of breath.
You spend a lot of time planning those things.
You should actually think it out on how the breath pattern will work.
No, but you do spend a lot of time... playing games. A lot of people spend hours playing games. One of the big things that's on YouTube and on Twitch and on other gaming sites is what's called Let's Plays, where gamers will go on and they'll play a game, and sometimes they'll narrate things or do whatever.
Right.
But usually it's pretty visual.
Yep.
Except for this channel from a guy named Matt. We found him on Reddit. He started a channel called Games for Everybody, where he's doing the same thing. I've never heard of this game. Have you? Undertale?
Yeah, that is a new game that a lot of the kids play these days. The kid in the house actually likes Undertale.
It seems pretty cool. Have you heard this clip that we just, let's...
Oh, okay, let's take a listen.
What a terrible creature, torturing such a poor, innocent youth. Okay, so now in front of me there's this lady, very tall and stocky, wearing like a long robe with some kind of symbol on it that looks like a little orb with wings and some little triangles underneath. And she looks kind of like a cross between a cow and a goat. She's got like a long snout and some little teeth, and she's got red eyes, long floppy ears, almost kind of like a rabbit's ears.
Sounds like women I dated in college.
Tiny horns. So kind of goat, cow. Do not be afraid, my child. I am Toriel, caretaker of the ruins. I'd pass through this place every day to see if anyone's fallen down. You're the first human to come here in a long time. Come, I will guide you through the catacombs. She seems nice. But then again, so did Flowey. This way. Oh, so now I can follow her. I'm going through another little gate.
Coolness. So it's like audio description for video games. Now, when you were hearing that going on, there was the music, and then there was that kind of thing. That's text going across the screen.
Those right, of us he's who, reading the text. As
yeah,
it's
he's reading across. That text as it goes across the screen. Neat. He actually gives voice to characters as well. It's kind of funny that he's doing on YouTube what I had friends do for me back in the 80s and 90s for right. free. This is kind of neat. You know what I like about Let's Plays, in which somebody plays the game. If I don't feel like playing it, I may put it on in the background to decide if I was right or wrong for making that decision not to play, or if it's a game where it's really graphical and I'm not going to have a good time rubbing my nose up against the screen to try and play it, then watching somebody else play it and have that kind of audio description gives me the same experience per se. And I can, you know, talk with others on video game forums and whatnot and be able to relate to whatever the conversation is. So it is very much like having audio description on television
and
or
he's
movies.
Doing a really good job between that. We went through a few of the clips and he's been putting up pretty much a new one every day. And he's doing a really good job of describing the scenes and the players, but not describing it so much where it bogs down the game. It's just, yeah. You know, it kind of unfolds pretty nicely. He's doing a
lot of YouTubers who are good or are Twitchers will read the dialogue on screen, but they won't do the description of what's going on screen. So you may get the dialogue because somebody who's watching it on a mobile device could not read the dialogue that's being captured through somebody else's, you know, way of doing things. But you wouldn't get the idea of who's on screen and what's going on screen. There are some who absolutely cannot stand audio of any kind. So there are some Let's Plays out there that are just ambient, just the noise of the video game track. And for some games, I did that. So Portal 2 is a great example. If you want to be able to hear the amazing dialogue that is in Portal, there's a lot of ambient, crazy, silly dialogue that happens from GLaDOS and the like.
And I can see and especially in certain games, I can see the need or the desire for that as well. But,
especially it's cool. If it's 3D spatial audio and things like that, you might want to listen to just a game only track to see what the actual audio track was supposed to be like before you have something like that.
This is really cool. I have no idea what got him into this, but he seems to be getting a lot of good feedback from it and wish him well. So
yeah, that is really super cool. I like that. There are more video game things to come later in the month with E3. There'll be stuff from Xbox and PlayStation. For those who follow me on Twitter, you know that I am famous for making snarky commentary, imagine that, about video games, and I will be doing so when we get closer to those moments of their big, big announcements, for I will probably be in the market for buying something crazy this year. Having a 13-year-old in the house gives me the excuse to spend frivolously on video games, so it's a nice thing to have. I really enjoy it. Makes a life a lot easier, especially when I go see some of those cartoon-based movies out there, Ratchet and Clank and the like. Well, coming up after this break from our fantastical sponsor, we will get into a bit about a tablet.
Fantastical.
Fantastical.
I like that fake
app. Remember the app? The actual iOS calendar app? Uh-huh. The tablet that is from NVIDIA, and we'll tell you whether that's a great buy for those of you who are blind and visually impaired or not. And then we will have, of course, Sound Off and the last word. But
are people that don't agree with us this week on Sound Off.
I know. But before we do that, is there anything new at AT Guys going on?
It's coming.
Okay.
Though we're done with the show, so now we're starting to concentrate on getting ready for convention. And it seems like everything that we want to be bringing in on board has to have the same thing of where there was some sort of delay or whatever. They're trying to get...
So it's like the Google I.O. of conventions.
Right,
it's, this is going to be really great, but it'll be available later this year.
We definitely hope to have a lot of things in by the convention time. By the way, for some of you looking for the Aftershocks headsets, the bone conduction ones, we know they've been really popular. We do happen to have some open box. These are ones that customers bought. They didn't like them for whatever reason, didn't fit them or anything like that. So we have some that are called open box, and they're about $30 off. So you can save a little bit of money. And sometimes we do things like that, returns and open box items. You can save a little bit of money, and you can be happy, and we can get rid of our open box stuff. So we're at atguys.com, 269-216-4798.
Coming up after this wonderful sponsor ad, more about NVIDIA tablets. Shield yourselves.
Go make it happen with GoVision, the new transportable video magnifier from HIMSS. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. HIMSS, lifestyle innovation.
Hey everyone, back here and with Ricky with her brand new tablet. Wow, tablet. Oh, new hardware. It's always such a good time here. Just up front, we will not be placing this in the shower. I'm just going to let you know that JJ is the one who likes to put Android devices in wet areas.
I bought this to replace my Nexus 7 2012, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to destroy the Nexus 7 2012, but... if I do figure out an interesting way to do that, I will record it for posterity.
There you go. And Patrick would hate that because that microphone is absolute garbage.
Yes, very true.
So
I think it would have to involve like another microphone and me just breaking glass and things like that.
Something, because that would not be, that would be bad. But we needed in the house an Android tablet running Marshmallow for testing. And was it I that jokingly said, oh yeah, NVIDIA's got like a tablet and blah, 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 blah.
And I thought you were crazy as I normally do.
Yeah. You would not be the first. The internet will be right behind you on that.
Turns out you were right though.
Yikes.
I was looking at different tablets to get. As interesting as something like the Kindle Fire is, I needed something that was
true
stock
native
Android,
because that's Fire OS on top of Android.
Right. So didn't get that yet. I was looking at various tablets and I was asked by a couple of people why I chose this one. And one reason is that it's $199, which is the same price point as the original Nexus's.
Yeah. Like
so,
the price.
Yeah. Much better than the Pixel, which is about $500. And that is made by Google, but... that was a little rich for my blood. I was like, I don't know that I want to spend quite that much, even though I would always be guaranteed the latest Google updates.
Yeah.
The Galaxies are good tablets too, but there are many, many of them. Not all of them have Marshmallow, and they're all at various price points as well.
And TouchWiz.
And of course, Samsung, yes. Yeah. Samsung does some things to modify the Android experience just a bit. So this seemed like the best way to go, and turns out pretty happy with it so far.
So this is a NVIDIA Shield Tablet K1, and it's important that you know that little prefix there because there are other NVIDIA products out there under the Shield logo. It's actually a line of products. The K1 is unique because they've removed some things to make that $199 price point. Now, we found this out through research and then promptly forgot about it till we opened the box. Now, when we opened the box, we got a box and some paper and the tablet.
No charging cable. So
know that going in. If you do not have a micro USB charging cable of any kind for any other type device, that might be a detriment to you because you may have to buy a charger. They do sell a charger kit separately, $30, but that's kind of playing with your price point at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can use whatever. You can use any charger that you have that is micro USB, whether it plugs into the wall or whether you charge it from your computer.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. There are cases as well. We have a link in the show notes at blindbargains.com with a link to a case that JJ found. We chose not to get a case for this for right now because it's mostly sitting around the lab, not doing much.
It's not out in the field a whole lot.
So you get a box. It's got a tablet in it. It was easy to unbox. you remove the plastic.
Yeah. It didn't fly across the room like my Nexus did, and Richard Wells had the same problem when he opened his. So better packaging than that.
Yeah.
But there is one major downside when you get this out of the box, and this is something that you should be aware of going in. You're going to need a pair of working eyeballs in the room with you in order to set this up. So the accessibility shortcut where you press and hold the power button and wait for the lovely screen to come up and then place your two fingers on the screen is not enabled by default. So if you press that power button once this is on in order to bring up that screen, it just turns it off.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. And accidentally, when playing around with it, we moved the language option to German.
Yeah, that was
good. Yeah, so I shoved it under the CCTV did my best to get us back into that situation. It boots into Lollipop 5.11 out of the box. And once when we got into it proper, and you can skip a lot of the steps and just drag it into the boot process, but you do have to like give yourself a name or at least name the tablet.
Right. I'd recommend just if you have somebody who's not particularly technical, have them skip everything except for you can't skip giving it a name. You can even skip Wi-Fi and turn that on later once you've turned on TalkBack. You can also skip signing into the Google Play Store and turn that on and sign in once you have TalkBack up and running.
Right. It is on board. You can get into TalkBack. So once when you get into the Android environment proper, you can go to settings, go to accessibility, and turn TalkBack on. So TalkBack is there. It's just that the accessibility shortcut and all won't work until you get into it and then turn it on, unfortunately, visually. Now, once when you do that, shortly after you connect to your Wi-Fi, you will be asked to upgrade to Marshmallow. It was a ROM update that comes up pretty quickly, shows up in your notification, and you just start that. The process is pretty quick, pretty easy, and TalkBack did come back with speech once when it was complete.
So let's talk about actually using the tablet. First of all, I have gotten the 16 gig tablet, but the cool thing about this tablet is that it does have an SD card slot. So you can add up to, I think it supports 128.
Yeah.
So you can slap an SD card in there for some additional storage if you want to do that and still have a really cheap yet functional tablet. Many people have talked about certain devices using Android and the, you know, how hard do I have to tap this thing to get it to go? Some of it is touchscreen sensitivity and some of it is software. With this particular tablet, I'll say two things about it. One is that for the most part, you can get away with a nice light tap. You don't have to make it sound like you're knocking on wood as you tap on this thing. There are a couple of exceptions, though. The back, home, and overview buttons at the bottom of the screen are a really good example of this. It's not that you have to tap really hard on those buttons, but you do have to tap in a particular way. I'm accustomed to having a tablet on the arm of the chair and being able to reach over and do something with it. Not easy to activate those buttons in that kind of orientation. It's better if I hold it in my left hand, use my right index finger, and just use the tip of it, just below the nail, and give it a light tap. So you're focused on a fairly small button, I think. And that's the reason that it's not always going to pick your finger up if you're using the flat of your index finger, which is much wider than the tip is. So if you just keep that in mind and have your finger kind of curved and use the very end below the nail, you should be fine.
The physical dimensions of the tablet, this is an 8-inch tablet, not a 7-inch tablet. You were actually measuring this against your iPad and your Nexus 7.
I did, and I really like this form factor. I like the Nexus 7 form factor a little better because it's smaller. I find the iPad too large to use
standard
comfortably.
iPad, 9.7 inch, not a mini, not a pro.
Yeah, so I'm not into that. This is slightly bigger than I'd like, but not by much. So if you're looking at this against an iPad, it's almost as tall as the iPad, but the iPad is much wider. They are the same thickness. So if you care about how thin your device is, these are the same thickness. It's interesting because the 1K looks thicker. It sort of feels thicker in the hand because it's a little more boxy. It's not as curved on the back as the iPad. So you kind of have this subjective feeling of it's thicker, but it's not.
And it's kind of the plasticky, backy feel like your iPad, but not like your iPad. Yeah. Nexus 7.
I don't think it feels familiar. I mean, I don't think it feels like the Nexus 7 because the Nexus 7 is sort of a rough plastic on the back. It almost feels rubbery yet plastic. This is much smoother.
It's got a big NVIDIA Shield logo on the back of it.
Yep.
This is a gaming tablet, so the speakers are oriented for best in widescreen. Naturally, it's not what you like. You like to have portrait mostly. But how's the sound in portrait and when using it day to day?
I was pretty impressed, actually. There are speakers that you can actually kind of feel across the top and the bottom if you're holding this in portrait mode. They feel a bit rubbery and kind of like a speaker grill. So the sound is fine in portrait. You do get some nice separation if you place the device in landscape and you're actually playing a YouTube video or music or that kind of thing.
If you set it on the desk.
Yeah. And it's a tablet. You're not going to get a huge amount of bass response. This isn't going to sound super high quality. It's going to sound like a tablet. Go figure.
Yeah. And for $199, it sounds pretty good for a tablet, considering that some of our older Android devices are mono speakers. So as you hold it in portrait, your power and your volume buttons are on the right side as it faces you, and your headphone jack is up at the top right as well.
As is your charging
thingy.
Yeah. Yes,
USB,
which is a little weird to me. I'm used to the charging apparatus being at the bottom, but here it is on the top. You actually have several little ports and things, including the SD card slot that I talked about.
Mini HDMI.
And a couple of other things that I actually don't recall at the moment that are going to be more useful in gaming applications than anything else.
Yeah, and it is capable of doing 4K mode and console mode, and that is you can place it in its own dock. There is a dock available for it. And there is the ability not to use it in the dock and just go into console mode by using the mini HDMI port. And that's great if you have, you know, let's say a Google Cast or something in the Google Play Store or something in Amazon. You could actually do it all from there. And the voices we'll be using are your acapella ones?
Yeah. Yep, okay. I have acapella installed here. And we're not going to look at too much, but I just want to show
the
speed and responsiveness more than anything else. So let's unlock the tablet.
Wi-Fi signal full. Battery 99%. Switch user. Current user Riki. 4 applications updated. 1:16 p.m. Google Calendar, Gmail, Video Shield Hub, and Google Photos. Thursday,
so
June 2,
that's 3, just my lock screen.
Unlock button. Device unlocked. Home screen 1 of 2.
Okay, I've unlocked that.
Notification shade.
I've brought down the notification shade.
4 applications updated. 1:16 p.m. Google Calendar. Clear all notification. 3:35 p.m. Thursday.
And I'm just sort of flicking between these. I'm going to clear them.
Home screen
and I'm not sure if you can hear the very slight click as you activate something. This is not a talkback sound. It's actually a sound from the tablet itself.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Internet Explorer click from days gone by. It's very light. You don't notice it after a while.
Which is nice. I kind of prefer that. It's very subtle.
Yeah, but it lets you know that you've done something in order to know that you've done something, which is nice.
So I have the home button here.
Back button.
And I'm going to tap on it, as I explained, with the flat of my finger. And obviously it didn't work. Now I did with the very tip of my finger and it comes right up.
Yeah, so it's super fast. It has stock Android. There is some NVIDIA stuff in there, like gaming apps and the ability to get to their gaming store. But you also get the benefits of being able to control how much light is emitted, customizing that light. If you're low vision, this might be a good thing for you if you like separating out some colors. The sensitivity at which it recognizes.
Yes, I was going to mention that earlier and got sidetracked. It is set by default on medium, which I've found fine for me, because with the exception of the buttons at the bottom of the screen, generally if I'm tapping on something, I don't have to tap very hard. I like medium. You can change this, of course, to make it where you have to punch it in order to activate something, or you kind of breathe near it and activate something. So that's personal preference. And that, I believe, is an NVIDIA thing and is not standard with Android Marshmallow.
Yeah, it's super speedy. Whereas with the Samsung devices, and you know my phone, it feels like if you just move the wrong way, zoom, off you go, and it's overly sensitive by default. I don't feel that way with your tablet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little easier. Now, with that said, if you're new to Android, is this a beginner's tablet?
I think so. And the reason I would say that is because, one, it is stock, so you're going to be able to get help a little more easily than you could if you had something that was far more customized. There are a lot of stock Android users out there. And the other reason I think this is a beginner tablet is because there aren't a lot of extra bells and whistles. You have the NVIDIA folder where you have your applications specific to NVIDIA, such as the NVIDIA Shield Hub and things like that. But otherwise, this is just coming with standard Google stuff. Yeah. Now, the only problem is that you're not going to be able to use it out of the box without some assistance. So in that sense, if you're frustrated by needing to do something like that, and understandably so, but if this is going to be a major hardship to find someone that you would trust to assist you with that, then you may want to look at something else.
And we did try using Canopy Reader and some other apps, and it just, the way that they do the prompts is,
yeah, the problem is you do have to do some on-screen input, and you have to touch a certain place on the screen in order to, so it does like the iOS devices do, where it will say hello, konnichiwa, or whatever. It doesn't say it out loud, but it's displaying those things. And whenever it gets to English hello, you can,
or if you're silly that. and you swipe wrong and you end up in Deutsch. Then, yeah, that was a surprise. Yeah, so if you have someone who can assist you through that opening process, then you're okay. You're there. You have TalkBack. You're able to go ahead and do all that other fun stuff. You don't ever really have to jack with the NVIDIA stuff at all if you don't want to.
No.
And it doesn't get in the way of your experience. It is just there. They are using the Android area as a platform. NVIDIA is supporting this. This is the newest of their Shield tablet line. They are all in on this product because they want to be the Xbox, the PlayStation of Android gaming. They want to be there. So there's a lot of accessories that work with the K1, but know that there is a difference between this and other models. The older model, which is called now the Shield Portable, comes with a stylus. That's what they removed. And it comes with a charger. They also removed that.
Yep.
They did some things to get it down to that $199 price point. With that said, and with the other competition out there, this was a good buy then.
Absolutely. I think that the Galaxy, which is a really popular tablet, I suspect there's nothing wrong with it, but this hit all my needs perfectly, including price point, very little modification to the base Android experience, and it's nicely built hardware.
Yeah, it feels sturdy and it feels pretty good for what it is. We have a link to it in the show notes, also some YouTube reviews which go over kind of a physical description of the unit in the show notes as well. The unit is still seeing updates, so we just got 6.01, and there's a rumor at the time of this recording that you could actually move that to the beta of the latest Android N, although we won't be doing that.
No.
But there is a good possibility that when Android N comes out, it will get it on the Shield tablet, because that is also got some VR code in the background. NVIDIA wants to be in VR. So I feel pretty strongly that this tablet will be able to move to Android N later this year. And that was another idea of why we were getting a tablet in the house, so we had the ability to test N when it came up. So there are some ideas. It's the NVIDIA Shield K1 tablet, and that's available for $199. Ricky, any final thoughts?
Just one. If you are pairing a Bluetooth keyboard to this, I experienced issue where I paired my Bluetooth keyboard and I would press a keystroke and it would then continue pressing that keystroke 1,000 times. A simple reboot fixed this. So if you happen to experience that sort of issue, therapeutic reboot is always a good idea.
Yeah, even in Android circles and iOS circles as well. I know it seems crazy to restart, but yeah, sometimes those devices do need it. Good point. I forgot all the Googling we did to try and figure that out.
Yes, and all it took was, did you turn it off and on again?
Yes, very much the IT crowd solution for things. And after, what, two or three keyboards we tried too, which was even crazier.
Yes, it was driving me crazy.
Excellent. Well, if you got any questions, feel free to throw them down in the show notes or contact us at feedback@blindbargains.com. And thank you for your time again and for this awesome new hardware.
Thanks for listening.
Let's head on back to Windows for this week's tip, shall we? It's been a while since we've been there, and I'm going to be using Windows 10. However, this actually goes all the way back to Windows 7, if not a little earlier. Now, the taskbar buttons that you have there, the little shortcut ones, you might actually probably put your focus there and turn those off. But did you know that they actually do and can serve a purpose? Yeah, here's the deal. If you do have those Windows taskbar buttons enabled, and let's just say that you do for the example, and let's say you're running Windows 10, and I don't know, let's say, Microsoft Edge for some reason is the first one in that list. If you do a Windows plus the one key up in the number row, not the number pad, but the number row up at the top of your letters and numbers there on the QWERTY keyboard, you will actually launch Microsoft Edge. Now, you don't have to. Naturally, you can unpin that from the taskbar and you could add other things, but it's a neat way of being able to do quick, fast shortcuts. So for me, I have Mozilla Firefox on Windows 3, and I can actually bring up Firefox in a new browser by doing a Windows plus the 3 key. And you can rearrange and move those around. Naturally, some screen readers or screen magnifiers might also use those. So you want to definitely look at your assistive technology of choice. However, you can use that if you don't have a conflict, and it's a neat way of being able to get back and forth to programs in a fix. You can actually remove the taskbar from being seen, those buttons, and it won't affect the Windows 1, 2, 3, and those combinations. So if you want to get that real estate back, or you just don't like having those taskbar button shortcuts running, you can remove those and still keep the Windows plus 1, plus 2, plus 3. There you go. It's a quick tip, and it goes all the way back to Windows 7. You don't have to be in Windows 10 to be able to enjoy it.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Sound off this week starts with some topics that will never die, but that's okay. They're actually quite important to many of you, so we appreciate all the feedback, starting with CW and how to not upgrade to Windows 10 using a program called Never 10. Have you seen this at all or anything?
I have. Steve Gibson over at Twit, who does Security Now, believes what Andre Louis has said online about Windows 10 being a virus. And so and that's meant in a funny way. But there are some people who don't want to have anything to do with anything with Windows 10. And rather than install it and then roll back, this is a program that keeps you from having that surprise that hit Justin Robert Young and others a couple of weeks ago about, boom, Windows 10, and it breaks everything you own.
You know, yeah, I mean, I guess people have had a million different opinions on all of this. The fact is you can upgrade now or you can upgrade next week. At some point, you're going to want to do it. And yeah, I get it, but it's good to have ways. You know, like I said before, I don't necessarily agree with all the stuff that Microsoft did to kind of force them down people, especially for those with older assistive technology. Yeah. But, you know, the options are there. You just
it's
gotta,
not like iOS where you're being reminded.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Cool.
I will get back because they've killed the certificates. So.
I will update to 9.3.2 soon. Sorry, I'm just busy. I don't feel like every time I pick up my iPad, I want to do something with it. And, you know, and if I hit upgrade, I won't be able to for 15 minutes.
Yeah. So the forced upgrade is not completely Microsoft's thing.
Oh, gosh, no.
Certainly from a technical support standard, it's nice if you can get everybody to go there.
iOS does at least give you a confirm. So
yeah, yeah.
That
as opposed to you've decided to install all recommended and important updates automatically. Yikes. No,
yeah.
I don't even do App Store updates automatically. Ugh.
Some wide-ranging CW also talking about the voting story that we did last week, and also Google. And yes, these are things back from our previous episodes. You can go back and listen. We were talking about various accessible voting machines last week. We talked a couple weeks ago about Google I/O and all the new things coming out there. So if you haven't heard our show in a while or ever, just go back and you can catch our previous shows, and you can catch a lot of the things that we talk about and that people end up writing in about on SoundOff.
Yeah, and as long as that email was, the one from Ken was just as long and covered almost as much. I enjoy and learn a lot from the barbecue shows. Yay! Thank you. Now, he usually lets a lot of things go past without comment, but he does have a couple of things about phraseology that I had said in the Uber and Lyft situation in Austin. And then he also talks about the Kindle audio adapter and who it might be for and...
He said we dismissed that adapter. I guess maybe we just didn't really understand it well enough as far as the Kindle adapter. This is the one that'll turn the Paperwhite and the other Kindles, especially that one, and make it accessible. No, I had no problem with that at all. We were just discussing on air, and I believe you were explaining to me why would someone get a Kindle Paperwhite, which is more expensive than the $50 Kindle. That which was my question. You answered on that show. So I mean. Obviously, there's different Kindles for different budgets. The Paperwhite may be one more for low vision users, but if you already have someone in your family who has one for $20 to make that work, that's a pretty cool little addition that you can do.
And like the Fire OS, it gets to what Peter had told us at CSUN. They're getting to things. Slowly but surely, they're adding accessibility to a lot of things, again, to take the Fire from people like us who would throw rocks and say, well, you didn't do this one or you didn't do that one. So in that respect, I have to give it up to them because it seems like no device is too big or too small for them to go back and find a way to make it work, which is impressive to say the least, but something I could applaud to say the most because they are definitely thinking about it. It seems to be coming in more and more. I would like to see audio description though. In Amazon Prime, that is really where I'm coming down to. Accessing the services is one thing, but to give me competitive services like what I have on Netflix, that would really make my life a very happy thing, especially since they own the streaming rights to Doctor Who in the United States currently, and I can't stream with audio description. That really is depressing. Anyway, there you go. Uber and Lyft. I wrote back to Ken offline about some ideas of what was going on. I had a lot of friends who drive in Austin, and I have friends who still work there because I used to live in Austin. I'm depressed to see what's going on. There certainly is a flurry of startups that are happening to take over for Uber and Lyft. I actually tweeted an article about that recently, and they either are a kind of overglorified taxi per se, but they're not the experience that Uber and Lyft is, and not that they could be because Uber and Lyft have millions of dollars behind them and they've been doing this for a couple of years. So anybody who's coming on is a startup mentality. Some people like that, but others are going to compare it to what they know, which is the Kleenex of the tissue world. And if you just can't hold up to Kleenex or Coke for soda, then people get kind of flummoxed and it's not what they want or what they're looking for. They want what left.
So Uber and Lyft were ushered out of Austin, which was the phrase that Ken took issue with. But, you know, yes. So technically speaking, they chose to leave on their own. But they chose to leave on their own after the city wanted to impose some requirements on them, namely fingerprinting and some other things that they didn't agree with. They thought were an overreach. And really, it's been proven in many situations that doing fingerprints really isn't any better than doing many other types of background checks that have already been done. The reason we have rideshare in much part right now is because cab companies are running under a model from the 1920s, which has never been updated. High fares, overregulated. You know, in many cities, you have to pay thousands of dollars just to become a licensed cab driver. So the barrier to entry is just awful. So the current system of cabs is just ludicrous, and they are doing whatever they can to kind of fight and try to get some cities on their side. And in Austin, it's worked for the cabs, and many other states, like you mentioned, North Carolina and other states, it's more pro rideshare. So you can find a news story. You say you listen to NPR. You can find news stories that will characterize this situation in any way that suits your opinion. The fact of the matter is, you know, the
ride is gone. They are not in the city. They are not there.
And rideshare in general, I mean, it's changed how we can get transportation. And I agree with you. When I travel, that's how I function. It used to be you have to call a cab company and hope they perhaps meet you, and you have no accountability at all. There are so many advantages to, and yes, look, Uber and Lyft do some pretty underhanded things sometimes to try to get their way. They are, I mean, they're companies, and that's kind of how
they are not beyond reproach.
But the accountability that you have, that you can go back, if I have a bad experience with the cab driver, I can do absolutely nothing about it, really. I could perhaps report them to the local authorities.
If I have his number, if I had his medallion,
if
I could do that, and if he would tell me, or if I could get someone visually to tell me what it is before he speaks.
Exactly. Away. Some cities do have it in Chicago. They actually have to have them in Braille in the back of the cab. But, you know, it's like you're actually going to remember to check that.
Yeah.
Very often. And they were
the Braille, it's on the license plate number. Now reach down and get it before I drive away. No.
You know, it's changed so many things. I mean, is it a perfect system? No. But it's a type of technology that, you know, someone went as far as saying Austin is no longer a tech hub city.
Yeah.
Because they pushed out Uber.
They pushed out
startups who did
really well at things like South By. And I have to say, one of the largest blindness populations is in Austin, Chris Cole Center, what have you. It's a very friendly city in Texas for the blind. A lot of people who came to Austin for services through the Vision of Blind Services usually ended up staying there and moving there because they had such a better experience than in other cities because it is more blind aware because of the Texas School for the Blind or what have you. What I find depressing is, and this is not just in Texas and not just in Austin, so I'm not characterizing Austin in this way and not disparaging it without merit, the good old boy network. And the good old boy network has a tendency to want things to be the same for whatever reason or however it works. In this situation, there was some mischaracterization or misrepresentation or even fear by some on all sides.
Yep.
And that led to a crazy decision, which I do not agree with, and that's my opinion. And that means I'm not going to Austin for a while because I don't have the ability to transport myself the way I want to transport myself, which is with services I know already and trust and have a history with. So after $8 million of trying to do things and all these different people going into the city hall and talking about it and all these different meetings, for me to say something that they were ushered out kind of is it, because there was a little bit of aggression going on, and Houston is right behind them. Lyft left Houston and may end up losing Uber over the same kind of stance. I don't completely understand why there is this mentality, but it's happening in certain parts of Texas.
They got the exact result that the city council, or at least certain members of it, wanted. That's exactly what they wanted to happen, at least, and especially the cab lobby and things like that. They got exactly what they wanted.
Appearance is that they were kind of ushered out and kind of sort of said, okay, you know, we have our solution. This is what we're going to use. And there was a little bit of an aggressive look. Now, there's even some speculation going out there that after a certain amount of money had been spent on the voting and trying to make people awareness, raise their awareness prior to voting, that some say that Austin is now going to be the example to other cities as to if you don't want them there, this will be what happens.
And now it moves to Chicago. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's good. And for college towns, this is
horrible. There'll be more of this discussion. I'm sure we'll have some more feedback coming in on that. But thanks so much.
Keep your comments in.
Absolutely.
Keep sending them, because we want to hear what's happening in your areas. We're very fascinated about that. This is probably going to be an issue that will come up probably all through the summer, especially as we get closer to summer convention and people using those apps again for the first time or for the second time in some cases.
Speaking of Austin, this is Greg Austin, who says, "Guide Cats for the Blind is a humorous poem." I was not aware. Someone Les Barker. Wait a minute. That's even funnier. That someone named Barker would write a poem about cats. Yes. But it's been set
neuter,
to music.
Spade Neuter. Yes.
We talked about the Guide Cat last week, so that's where that came from.
Spade Neuter is a very famous Mr. Bob Barker statement he would say at the end of every Price
is Right. And Drew Carey still does as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He has a suggestion, which I've actually thought about this before, doing either putting tips in a podcast or doing a tips show. I thought about compiling a whole bunch of the tips and, you know, for a week that we're away, doing that as a best of type thing. So if that's something you guys might think... we have all 60 some of them now, so it certainly could be a filler.
The advantage
show.
Of that is actually leading right into his next one, which is he has a tip for those of us who have been in broadcasting. Sometimes there's some in jokes that are made, Greg. That's impossible to get away from. Podcasts are not broadcasts, as Jay and Patrick have heard me say for more than a half decade, and after doing more than a half decade of shows, we have fans who actually approach us about little minor things we said in 2010. It just really, when you jump into a program or a long time running show, say a morning show, there are always going to be in jokes or asides or references that are going to be very difficult for the new user to catch up on. I had that with Bob and Ray. I had that with when I would listen to when I come back to Howard Stern, I have a love-hate relationship with listening to Howard and others that I'm big fans of that have come back in.
Yeah.
So it can happen. It happened with Daily Tech News Show the other day with Tom. Tom and Justin were actually talking about something from Buzz Out Loud days. You know, those are podcasts that are 10 years old. So you shoot broad as best you can, but there are always going to be people who need more description of an item,
less
description of
it's
an
not
item.
Always intended, especially when it comes to technology. I know sometimes acronyms get thrown around and things like that. So
it's not intentional. Yeah, believe
you
us.
Can certainly feel tweet us or email us if there's something you hear that like, wait, what are you talking about? And we can usually get you a quick response back. Sometimes it's something like E3 that you mentioned, like it just gets mentioned enough that you assume that or WWDC. And every so often we'll try to expand out the acronyms, because especially ones that are a little less familiar.
You've listened to the older shows that I did that are very similar to the one that we do, and when we would spend some time to explain an issue to a very minor degree, it can be boring for those who already know it, so they start reaching for the fast forward button, and that was something we decided we would not do here.
Right. We wanted to kind of strike that balance. And we, in some ways, I think have a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not respect, but we recognize the intelligence of many of the listeners, that we don't want to bog down the show with so many basic concepts, and recognize that sometimes you may not understand everything, but you can certainly email or we know that you guys are capable of asking questions if there's something you don't understand. So, hopefully you'll enjoy at least 80 to 90% of the show. And if you don't, that's why there's the fast forward button.
Exactly. And we do have a lot of people in the industry who do listen. So sometimes we do specifically make a joke that may be edited, might not get edited out, and it might be actually only aimed at maybe 15 people out of a couple of thousand. So you're not wrong, but sometimes we do it intentionally just to drive somebody crazy. Just because, for no other reason. James McCarthy.
Yeah. finally, a shout out to Lydia, who listens from California. This says she really appreciates listening to the show, and thanks for the Apple and Google updates and things like that. So we appreciate
that. That was awesome. Sent from the Braille note.
Oh, Yeah, I see that. Didn't say which brownout.
I did reply back to her. I was like, you're going to buy one of those things? It could be interesting. But that was neat.
Did she reply to you yet? No.
Will be interesting to see those who, you know, there are dyed-in-the-wool users who just have been waiting. And we'll
I know there's some out there. For that brownout. I know there's, you know. I know,
like you said, it's been showing like well. So
yeah, it has been interesting. From at least from the times I've seen it shown, it's gotten a huge thing. And I just got a thing from ACB, and I assume NFB too. There's going to be Humanware sessions on these, so you can go check that
they
out.
They are going to be out and about, and you will have an opportunity to go put that thing in your hands and decide if you like that. And of course, there's the Freedom Scientific one out there, and
yeah, well, that'll be a little later.
Sponsor Hims will have their wares out there. A lot of choice. That's what's really really cool. Now, you have no choice when it comes to the last word sometimes. And like I said, I was aiming low this week. And when this one came by, I didn't even get a second link. I was just like, yeah, this will work. Let's go ahead and load this up for Jay here.
That or a weird sounding cat.
yeah I just like how this came in. Rihanna and the Rugrats, sure, why not? That's something different. Although I've got a couple of other ones I could have used this week. You could follow me on Twitter, you can see some of the ones I didn't use, like Megadeth's Holy War on a Shovel. That was one I chose not to do, but there's some other ones that I have there in the
just searching Twitter for mashups on YouTube. There is so, I mean, of course it ranges from really good to what the heck are you doing, but some of them are pretty dang creative. And this Rihanna one, the Rugrats to work.
It's different. I like it when it is, I can't believe that those two work together. That should not be a thing, but it is. Okay, well, that'll work. You know, so it's something unique. It has to be something really out of the way to grab my attention. And for the ones that we've done for the past couple of months, they seem to be different. Although I do agree with most of you who've been writing me, I will move on to other weird things for last word.
And you can send us your story ideas and things like that. And then we'll just start using yours. That's fine too. So
yeah, we have actually had some submissions from, yeah that's true.
I see that. I had to pick a happy story for one. This I thought it was pretty cool. So you probably have heard of, you may have not heard of Dr. Heimlich himself, but you know the name.
The maneuver.
The maneuver. It's his maneuver. He actually invented it. It's not one of those things that's been around for hundreds of years. It was invented in the 70s, of course, to help people who are choking on things like hamburger in this situation. Dr. Heimlich is still around. He's living in a senior community in Ohio. He's 96. And finally, after one of the other residents was choking down in the dining hall, got to use his own maneuver to help this lady who was in her 80s, help her survive. So Dr. Heimlich finally got to use his own maneuver on someone, which I think is really cool.
How amazing is that, that he still had the strength to do it and he didn't end up hurting the other person doing it? That's, wow, that is impressive.
There's a quote from them, like, yeah, you know, usually the staff would step in, but then the staff member showed up, they're like, you know what? It's Dr. Heimlich. We'll just let him do it. I can't feel I would do it better than the actual guy.
This is why you're glad that he's in there instead of Dr. Kevorkian being in the nursing home with you.
He's over it. Yes.
Yeah, that would be a totally different doctor with a totally different outcome. And
not nearly as well. So,
have you ever seen it demonstrated? I have, in a real life situation, believe it or not.
Oh, no. I mean, it's only during CPR and first aid training and things like that.
Had a family reunion, and my uncle, by law, by my mom's sister's, my aunt's husband, my uncle, Larry, was joking, and my uncle Huey, my mom's brother, did it right then and there. He's a Korean war
vet. It actually happened.
And he actually did the maneuver, and this piece of meatball went flying across the room, and I was just standing there in awe, like, what?
Because
I wasn't sure what he was doing. And then by the time I recognized the choking noise, my uncle was actually there and did the maneuver. I saw it right then and there, which was just trippy.
Well, there you go. It's one of those things you hope you never have to see, but it's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
What did we do before the 70s? I played with my pronouns
there because, unfortunately, my Uncle Larry has passed and my Uncle Huey is still living. I actually would see Uncle Huey when I go to CSUN when we would drive there because he lives in Arizona. So we would actually...
So it's cool thing with driving all the way across the country.
You get to see so much of the country and learn so much and go to so many gas stations.
The Blind Bargain CSUN bus. Oh my gosh, that would take a long time.
In the old days, we actually joked about a cruise. We talked about doing a podcast cruise and getting blindness cruise people and just do a gigantic thing. You'd have
to pay me a lot.
You don't want to go cruising?
Yes, not while doing a podcast.
Oh,
that's vacation.
Listen to his dedication, dear listener.
This is vacation week. You know, maybe I'll call in. Maybe I'll record you a little 5-minute segment about the accessibility of the club.
We'll be doing tutorials and tips right there on the cruise. So definitely come down to the Lido deck where Jay will be eating out of the chocolate fountain between tips.
Here's how to accessibly use the chocolate fountain. Come down, guys.
I love cruises. You could follow me on Twitter if you want to find out some of the stuff that doesn't make the show or to see some of the crazy things that I talk about, science fiction movies and otherwise. You can head on over to twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word.
And we got a bunch of cool stuff coming up, by the way. So definitely follow us, Blind Bargains, on Twitter. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com. If you want to get AT Guys stuff, like I mentioned, atguys.com for assistive technology and much more. And we got a lot of cool things. Apple is going to be 2 shows from now. Yay! Other than that, we have some interviews planned. I don't want to mention them yet, just in case they fall through. But we think we have some pretty interesting things coming on. You'll be the judge, of course. But if you have ideas for topics, interviews, tips, other things, just let us know. You can email us, and it's best to pitch your idea first, and then we'll talk to you and help you present it in the coolest possible way. And we'd love to talk to you and get some different voices on as well. And I look forward to Apple in a couple of weeks and seeing what they're doing and everything else.
And remember, you can go back over old audio, relive at CSUN 2016 or even CSUN 2015 by heading on over to blindbargains.com and heading over to the audio tab and rolling on back there. You can hear some of these very episodes in their glory and see how we learned our craft or are still learning our craft.
Still learning, yeah.
Thanks to Patrick Perdue, who makes this craft more water worthy. So
if
much
NBA
so.
Buzzer went off every time that we said something incorrectly.
That might have actually.
It would just be a continuous buzz.
Yeah, and also thanks to James McCarthy and all the wonderful guys in Austin at HIMSS, where we talked a whole bunch about Austin. And no taker. So thank you once again for sponsoring this very podcast and so many others. You can roll on back to that CSUN coverage and hear the HIMSS presentations from CSUN 2016 as well, by the way. And those posted towards the beginning of April.
We do have some room, by the way, in some of the upcoming shows. If you want to be a sponsor, whether yourself, your company, your organization, your nonprofit, let us know. It may be cheaper than you think. So just let us know. We certainly can work with you.
You would be surprised just how much exposure you can get from this little old podcast. That is why we've been able to keep sponsors like HIMSS with us for so many years, is because they enjoy some of the ability to reach thousands of individuals all within one audio podcast. So again, give us a shout and we would love to talk to you. Also, remember, if you have contributions or ideas, feedback@blindbargains.com.
For Joe, this is JJ. Thanks for listening to the When I'm BBQ 64 episode 65, the real 65, Joe.
Real 65.
Next week.
Early retirement.
Oh, okay.
Or that was technically 62.
See you later.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.
What kind of end was that? Okay.
It was different. I'll say that much.